Welcome back, everyone, to the Endurance Hour podcast. This is episode 231, a little special episode because I'm in Portland, Oregon. Wendy is on the Big Island of Hawaii, just a couple of days away from taking on the Ironman World Championship. So aloha, Wendy. How are you doing right now?
Aloha. I'm doing good. It's Thursday. It's a very calm and relaxing day for me here on the island, 2 days before the Ironman.
Now, when I texted you to see if you could do this, you said you were resting. Maybe your feet were up, laying down. How come? Is that a strategy?
I was trying to lay down and take a nap. That's what I do on Thursdays. I don't really do much activity. I've already been to the expo. That took up most of my day yesterday, expo, registration, and all that. This morning, I'm still adjusting to the time change. It's a six-hour time change for me. So my sleeping is not exactly where I want it to be at night, but I knew I was going to rest all day today, so it was no big deal. But I did wake up and go to the underpants run and saw Timex and everyone else, and that was a lot of fun.
I want to get to that, but let's back up a little bit because you got there, I guess, late last week, I think it was, maybe?
We got here Thursday. I think it was October 5th. My sister and I got here. We flew out of Atlanta, so East Coast time. And with all the layover, we have three layovers. And when all is said and done, we were up for about 25 hours before we went to sleep. So just I feel like I lost a day's sleep. And some days I feel better than others. Like some days I'm like, oh, my God, why am I so tired? And then some days I'm like, oh, my God, I just got 4 hours sleep. I feel great. And I'm used to that. That's normal for me when I travel this far with a time difference. But all in all, I feel really good.
Well, tell me about, and I am uploading episode 6 of your video blog. Tell me about these vlogs, and they can be found in the T2 Endurance Club Facebook page.
Yes, my sister and I think it was the second day we were here, we wanted to do a video, and we just kind of started talking, and then kind of during the video, during like the beginning of it, my sister said, oh, we have 8 days until my 9th Ironman in Kona. Let's do a video a day sharing my journey since my first Ironman 20 years ago, and let's share in the next 8 days each of my Kona experiences as far as how I got there, what I learned. There were some years that, you know, it was like 6 or 7 years in between a Kona experience. So we just started putting videos together, and it's been really fun sharing. Because again, 20 years ago, I did my first Ironman, and a lot has happened to me since then. So it's kind of fun learning, you know, rehashing things that I've learned as reminders that really anything is possible. And you know, the ultimate goal is to go out there and enjoy the experience and try to suffer as little as possible. That's my goal.
Well, based on my perception of your preparation, there won't be much suffering, but there'll be a lot of racing. Do you feel the same way?
I do. And again, part, you know, I'm ready. I'm motivated to compete and to race. I mean, I've had my years, not just in Kona, but other Ironman experiences where, for whatever reason or another, I show up prepared to finish and be strong, but not prepared to race. Racing for me and competing is a mindset that I have to have, and I haven't always had that. So I feel like I'm back in my head wanting to race and not just wanting to do it.
Was there any experience this year at races that gave you that confidence that this could be, you know, a bounce back year, or your health is where it should be or where you expect it to be if you want to be in this position to actually race a race?
Yeah. You know, it goes back to 2011, 2011, 2012, 2013. I didn't race an Ironman because the previous two Ironmans, I struggled, injuries and just health-wise. And then I came to Kona in 2014, and I actually had a really good race. I felt confident. I was strong. I was happy. And I didn't come to compete. I came to have a really positive experience again. I wanted to reinvigorate myself and have a really good experience, and I did. And then the following year in 2015, when I tried to qualify again, I struggled a lot. I had some health issues. I was anemic. And that the whole year 2015, I really struggled. So it was a little disappointing. It was kind of like, all right, I need to take a step back again and find out why, you know, make my why strong enough to want to come back to the Big Island, because it's a lot of money. It's a lot of time and effort, mental and physical, to make it back here. And then I moved in 2016 from Colorado to Georgia, and just starting a whole new lifestyle with my family really lit my fire, and it gave me so much energy that I didn't expect. And I'm not anemic anymore. My, you know, physical health is good. I'm not injured either. That's a huge component of my motivation, is coming to Kona not injured, because that's a rare for me. And so I'm really excited, because I am super healthy and I've had really good results when I moved to Georgia in 2016.
It has been fun watching and following your posts and videos on social media, whether it's your Instagram account, T2 Coach Wendy, on Facebook, and then we're going to have these videos. Some of them are already on YouTube, and they're labeled like 2017 Ironman World Championship with Wendy Mader, or episode 1 through 6. That's what I'll be posting today, is episode 6. But following this, and one of the things that stand out right to me right now is you swimming in this Michael Phelps challenge pool, maybe? I don't know what you call it. Tell people what that's about.
Okay, so I got an email from Ironman about 2 weeks ago that at the expo there was going to be a challenge in the Michael Phelps spa. So for people to understand it more, it's like an endless pool. And they usually have different brands of these endless pool spas in Kona. So this is a new one, Michael Phelps brand. And I'm like, all right, I'm an age group swimmer. I've been swimming my whole life. I've been swimming, you know, pretty much, I'm 44. I've been swimming for 40 years. And so I'm like, I got to do this. And I can't remember exactly, but they set the jets in the pool to mimic a pace that Michael Phelps can hold for 10 minutes. Or maybe it was for an 800 or a mile. I had to go back and check. And so I'm like, sure, why not? What can I lose? Maybe I last 3 seconds. Maybe I last 30 seconds. But I'm going to have fun trying to do it. So I get there Wednesday morning, and I wasn't quite equipped with a swimsuit. I kind of had my tri kit on, and I said, well, what the hell? Let's get in there. And they allow you to warm up a little bit, and then they explain the whole process, and they said the jets, or the pace I was going to hold, was 54 seconds per 100 yard or 58 seconds per 100 meter. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's really fast. So I get in and do it, and it was, I felt sloppy. My stroke was off. I felt like I was going all over the spa. Like, I felt like I just could not swim in a straight line because the jets were so powerful. And as I'm swimming, my sister was on the sideline cheering, trying to tell me like how long I've been going. I could barely hear her. And probably about the first minute, I didn't intend to, but the jet kind of pushed me off to the right, where the jet wasn't quite so strong. So I felt like, well, I want to be in the strongest part. So I kept trying to move back into the middle part. Because it was for 3 minutes. I had to hold this pace for 3 minutes. And I ended up doing it, and everyone's clapping and cheering. And all the people who own the spa, they knew one of our team Timex teammates, Chris Thomas. So I got to bond with them and form a relationship with them. And then we were just all talking about age group swimming. And it was just overall a great experience. And I will say I was the first American to do it, because afterwards we get to sign our name on a special board and where we're from. There had only been maybe 5 or 6 other people who did it, but it was just, you know, I'm motivated by challenges. So to be able to complete something like that, and it was just really fun for me. And just to say, because I'm an age group swimmer, I know what it takes. And really, I was sore today. I actually did a recovery swim today. I felt really sore from it, but I don't care.
I was thinking you should have written your name a lot bigger than it was. I saw the picture, and you were the, you know, fifth or sixth person total around the world who had done this, or at least who had accomplished it. It's like, oh, your name is so small. You should write it out big, bold letters, Wendy Mader. It was so cool to see that.
I know. Well, what, as I was writing my name, I'm like, why did these people write their names so big? I don't know. It was just going through my mind, and that's why I wrote it as small as I did. But they're going to go, and they took pictures of us all, and they want to they access all our social media outlets so they can post and tag us and kind of promote the whole thing. So what a blast. And we want a pair of Michael Phelps goggles. So the swag is always nice, of course, and a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's what makes me jealous. I was there last in 2014, and you want to get that swag. You want to get that commemorative Timex watch, or you want to get the shirt that says Kona 2017, the blue 70, go out to the coffee boat. And yes, I'm very jealous of, I almost don't want to look at social media because I'm following so many people who are triathletes or professionals, and I see all these updates, and I get reminded of how cool it is and what I'm missing out on. Much like today with the underpants run. How disgusting was Sam Mazur's outfit?
Well, I'm glad I was prepared ahead of time for what she was going to wear. I think it's great. I think for those who don't know Sam Mazur, to go and check out her Instagram account, see what she was wearing. It was unique, it was different, and it was pretty disgusting, but at least we were prepared ahead of time. It was a blast. You know, I did it in 25. The underpants run in 2014 was where they tried to set a world record with how many people they get to run in their underpants. I don't know if they set the world record, but this year the course was a little bit different.
We did not set the record in 2014. I remember that being the Guinness Book of World Record. There was a lady there who was an official. They came and they were really trying their best to get a certain amount of people signed up and to accomplish this,
yeah.
But it didn't quite happen. But it's always a spectacle.
But at least it was worth a try. At least we tried.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of social media, I've seen, you know, Timex-related posts. There was a great shot of, I think, four members of our team. It was Tim Hola, Elise Gallegos, Derek DeCorver, Tristan, and maybe Keith, along with Craig Alexander, a Shimano type of live talk. Did you see posts about that or know how that came about?
Yes, that was in the expo. So yesterday, I know at 10:30, Keith and Eric went up and were talking about the new Timex GPS watch that really debuted at Ironman 70.3 World Championship and Championships in Chattanooga last month. And so they got to do a little half-hour talk. And then about an hour later, they grabbed some of the Timex multi-sport athletes with Shimano to get on the stage, podium, whatever it was at the expo, to do a little, you know, 30-minute or so talk, kind of a question and answer thing going on.
With Crowe.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Any, what kind of highlights would you say celebrity sightings? I know Chrissy Wellington got inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. Any celebrity sightings out there that stand out?
Well, I got to have lunch with Mike Riley on Monday. And so that was my big celebrity thing. A female I coached, Jamie Tweet, she was on the podcast maybe five episodes ago. She was talking about Women for Tri. She had raised over $50,000 for the Ironman Foundation, Women for Tri. So she got to have lunch with Mike Riley, and she invited me because I'm her coach. So that was quite an awesome experience because me being into Ironman for the last 20 years and Mike being into it for the last 30-something years, we got to talk a lot about the past together, face-to-face. It was so cool. And then I know, my friend Jamie keeps getting invited to talk with Rennie and Tio and other professionals. But for the most part, I've been in Kona since Wednesday. Before I was in Kona, I stayed in Hobby for a few days. So I really wasn't here until yesterday. And this is the time when the pros go away. You know, they're kind of done with their appearances. They're kind of done with their sponsorship stuff. And they just want to be left alone. Oh, and did you hear you probably heard this, Tim Don got hit by a car yesterday.
Yes, I saw his post on Instagram, you know, his comical post.
Yeah, so he's out.
Yeah, what a bummer. And it happened there on the Big Island, too.
I don't know the details yet. I just saw the post on Triathlete Magazine yesterday. So I'm sure they'll start coming out with more details about when and where and what exactly happened. Kind of a bummer.
Big time. So he named three athletes who would probably be, I forget the third one he mentioned, Patrick Large maybe, but Ferdino, Sebastian Kienle, and I think Patrick Large maybe one of the other guys that he mentioned would be, you know, potential podium. Well, the people who were on the podium last year could be the podium this year. So.
Yeah, that seems to be the talk around town.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe the vibe or the energy of the Big Island this week? For those who haven't been there yet?
A lot. I mean, obviously a ton of energy. You know, it's fun to come early because for me, the week started on Saturday with the 2.4 mile event that I swam. And there were probably, a few hundred people. It filled up, registration filled up. And that's just, we swim the course, the gun goes off at 7 a.m. and we're all timed, but it's pretty relaxed. Not everyone was started at the starting line. It's pretty relaxed. Some people started earlier than others. You get a medal at the end. And then throughout the week, and then they had a 5K, 10K run, which I didn't do on Sunday. But then you watch the week grow. You watch the population of Kona just grow on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And by Wednesday, pretty much everyone's here. And the expo is filled up. Registration is like fastest registration I've ever been to is at the Kona Ironman World Championships because they have a tremendous amount of support of volunteers, just not only at registration, but all over the place helping the athletes. You know, you walk into these what's called ABC stores, and those are like the nickel and dime stores, and all the locals who work there are so excited to be able to talk to our athletes. And then the sponsors from the King Sam Hotel all the way up to the actual expo is about a mile. And there's just sponsor tents during that whole mile. So it took us like 2 hours to go through the expo because there were so many sponsorship stuff, vendors to look at during that mile stretch. And then I think the athletes are really, to me, everyone's calm. Everyone seems really calm this year. Maybe I'm just been around more experienced athletes than I've been in the past. But it's a good, everyone's positive. It's a good vibe. Today's the day where you go to the expo early and then you get out of the sun and you just chill out the rest of the day. That's the best thing to do 2 days before Ironman.
Have you checked out Lava Java? Are there certain hot spots that you must go and visit or at least buy something from because it's a routine or ritual that everyone does?
Yeah, I have not been to Lava Java yet. They have moved. They moved a little bit closer. They moved a little bit closer to the pier. I've walked by it, actually tried to look for it, but I haven't seen it yet. But one place I did go to is, I don't know if it's right by Huggo's, an Osea Bowl breakfast place. Oh my God, to die for. Osea Bowls are awesome. My sister and I got one today, and we got to go back. There's four more flavors that we have to go back and try out. So just the way I eat, plant-based, I go grocery shopping a lot at Island Naturals, which is by Bike Works, which is the official hotel or the official bike shop, just north of the King Cam. I go there a lot for my own groceries and my own food. I like to eat a lot in the condo. I kind of like to be, you know, stay away from the big scene, especially 48 hours before the event.
I'm wondering how commercialized or business/sponsor focused this event has become in your assessment over the last so many years. You know, it is a platform for sponsors to showcase their athletes, but their products more than anything else.
So what I've noticed, and I missed the last part of what you said, but what I've noticed as far as like sponsors, vendors, there's a lot more team. You know, 20 years ago, I don't even know if any really team existed. I think Timex might have existed 20 years ago. They're the longest sponsor of the Ironman, and I think their team's been around for maybe close to 20 years. But what I notice is there's just so many more team, like team compression sport, team Blue 70, team Roca, team, just other teams that have their booth out along the way from the expo to the King Cam, offering everyone product and information about signing up for their team for 2018. So there's just a lot more to choose from. A lot more bike carts and bikes out there, shoes. There's just so many more vendors than I've ever seen before.
Yeah, and I remember when I first went there back in, well, I was there 2009 the first time. That's probably where I met you the first time. And then the more I got involved with Ironman and doing video coverage, there were these special events. Like Oakley had their own house, and they would invite the media to come and showcase their latest pair of sunglasses. So you wanted to be invited, or at least know where the hot spot was that night. And it seemed to be a kind of competitive. Let's say Rudy Project versus Bolle, or and then you throw in Oakley. They want to capture and bring you to their spot, and then you would miss out on the other sponsor's opportunity. So you kind of had to pick and choose.
You do, because a lot was happening. I got a lot of invitations on email on Tuesday. So Tuesday's the parade at 5 o'clock, and then that kind of opens up the expo at 6 o'clock. So even though the expo's open all day Tuesday, a lot of that is vendors setting up. So I got invitations to a USAT / Training Peaks dinner event Tuesday night. I believe there was a Rudy Project one. Oakley has a massive tent, and they have a massive contest that our teammate Suzanne Davis won, like a 450 pair of glasses that it's on her Instagram account. I don't remember everything involved, but she won their contest. Hoka has a big contest going on. Like, all of them have big contests. They're all collecting your email. You know, it's like, you give us your email, we'll enter you in our contest for a pair of Oakleys, a pair of shoes, a pair of Blue 70 goggles. You know, Blue 70 has a spin the wheel, and whatever the wheel lands on, it's mostly like buy one, get one free, stuff like that. So yes, a lot of the invitation events passed on Monday and Tuesday, and you did kind of get, it was a little overwhelming because you're like, well, they all start at the same time. Which one would I want to go to? But it's definitely competitive from a sponsor vendor standpoint.
Yeah, I think it was 2010 when Kay Swiss and Barry Siff, the USAT president and member of the Timex Multisport team, was the moderator of a Q&A with about 10 of these K-Swiss professional athletes. And it was a who's who of pros. And that panel you wanted to be at, and they would like monopolize everyone's attention for that period. And it seemed like a very clever marketing campaign to get people into the K-Swiss area so they could sell shoes and they can get, you know, their sponsors in front of so many different eyes. And I thought, that's a really good idea. And now with social media in full force.
Yeah, I didn't notice anything like that. Yeah, now it's basically come into our tent, give us your email address, we'll enter you in a raffle, and we're going to publicize it on social media. And there wasn't any like you just described in 2010. There's not anything like that going on.
Yeah, social media in 2009 wasn't what it's like, you know, 8 years later. This is, or 7 years later. It's incredible.
Not at all. I mean, I got my first Facebook account in 2008. You know, Instagram, I've probably been active on Instagram more or less last year or two. Instagram is huge for all these sponsor vendor people. It's all about Instagram.
Well, you've been pretty active on the stories. What kind of things are you posting in your Instagram stories on T2 Coach Wendy?
Fun stuff. I mean, my sister and I are doing a lot. And so I went to there's a pool here. It was the first time I've been to the Kona community pool. Tons of athletes are there. Tons of pros are swimming at the community pool. And someone saw me chewing gum. They're like, "Yeah, can you really chew gum and swim?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll show you. I'll show you how I do it because I do it all the time." So my friend Kirsten took pictures of me chewing gum, and my sister and I are just doing a lot of fun stuff. We got to build a bike for kids, so that was fun. And of course, we took a picture of me on the pink tricycle bike to try to help support and publicize this Support Kids and Come Build a Bike program that they're doing. And, you know, of course, I'm trying to be mindful of the Timex sponsorship that I have and trying to post off tagging them as well.
What kind of Timex-related activities has the group done since you've been there?
As far as I know, just the underpants run. We did not have a parade this year. We didn't have a Timex walk in the parade this year. So we are going to do a big brunch on Sunday after the race. Normally we do a pre-race dinner. This year we're doing a post-race brunch.
I think that might be an invite to be in the parade as a group of Timex athletes. I know that being the longest running sponsor of the event, they may, I don't know the details of it, but I know that's why the Timex team is allowed to be walking as a group in there. It's like, okay, you guys can have a float, you can hand out candy. It always seemed like an organized event. Maybe that's my guess. As long as you're athletes, but there as a main sponsor, you probably have that opportunity.
So people, you know, I think the Timex, I think we're kind of all kind of doing our own thing. We're all kind of spaced out. We're all of us athletes. I think there's 12 of us. We're kind of all spaced out, you know, as far as where we're all staying. So it was fun to see everyone this morning at the underpants run.
So the next 48 hours, how do you have it broken down? Do you break it down by 8-hour segments, 9-hour segments? What are you doing to lead yourself up to the race?
I'm kind of waiting for tomorrow, you know, because I am resting today. And so I'm just kind of like relaxed. I'm actually coaching 3 athletes that are here. So I'm going to call them this afternoon and they want to talk to me about their race plan. So we'll either chat on the phone or we'll get together in person. I'm actually coaching the oldest female athlete here, Cheryl Will. They did a big, they did a thing in Triathlete Magazine, an article about her that she's the oldest athlete here. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I'll spend today because I'm pretty relaxed. I'll catch up, make sure I catch up with all the athletes I'm coaching. And, you know, I'm just kind of waiting for the sunset to happen. We'll have dinner, waiting for bedtime because I just can't wait for tomorrow to happen because I'll get up early, get a short bike and swim and run in very short. Everything's going to be working. I'll come back and, again, I'll rest, pack my bag, and wait until usually between 2 and 5 is my time, according to my last name, and that I can go check my gear in. So it's just a waiting game. I don't count down the hours. I just kind of wait. Like I said, I'm waiting for dinner tonight. I'm waiting for tomorrow morning to happen. And then I'll wait so I can check in my bike. And then once I check in my bike and everything's done, there's nothing I can do, it's kind of like, okay, wait until that 5-6 o'clock dinner so I can go to bed, so I can wake up early and have time to be at the event. Because I've been here so long, it's like I'm really ready. I've done everything and more that I've wanted to do since I've been here. So now it's just a matter of waiting. And I've been in this position before. I know what that's like. So I'm pretty calm. I can't wait to go train on Saturday.
Can you sleep the night before?
I can. I'm really, really good at calming myself down Friday night around 8 o'clock. I can just get in this really calm state and I'll probably fall asleep around, I think around 9-ish. And then I'm usually up at like 3. So if I can get 6 hours sleep, I'm feeling really good.
Do you have a game plan for your day? Let's say, can you walk us through from 3 a.m., what is your process for, you know, pre-race fueling, going down to get your number on your arm, double-checking your bike? What do you do before you actually set your foot into Kailua Kona Bay?
So I wake up and have coffee. I'll go right on email, social media, catch up on all that stuff. I have two of my girlfriends arrived yesterday, and my sister's here, so there's four of us together. All of them are volunteering, so I actually think they're going to leave before I do, because they have to be at, they're volunteering for body marking, so they have to be there by four. Okay, so I'll wake up, have coffee, make my bagel and peanut butter banana sandwich, and call my husband. He's at home. Today's our anniversary, by the way, 12-year anniversary. He's back in Georgia. Thank you. He's back in Georgia, so I'll call him. And then it's just nice because I don't have anything to carry. So I get changed, put plenty of sunscreen on. I'm not quite sure. We're about 3 miles from the start, so I'm not quite sure yet how I'm going to get to the start of the race, try to hitch a ride with someone. And then I end up getting there super early, get my numbers on by like 4:30, and then you go check your bike, because in 2014, I had a flat tire when I walked into transition. That was a little bit of anxiety for me, and it was really easy because I was there so early. I just took my bike to the mechanic, and there was no one waiting, and he fixed my tire for me, and then I wrapped my bike. But the whole time in the swim, I'm like, I hope I don't come out of the water with another flat tire. But so then, you know, I check my bike, and then it's like 4:45, and then you just wait. You know, you it's dark, so you really can't. I can't really see anyone. But I keep my phone with me so I can communicate with my friends and family about where they are. And I just go try to find a quiet spot, and I just kind of relax. I don't obsessively keep checking my bike, because that's not going to do anything. I can't control. My bike is there. It's already wrapped. My gear is already checked in. So it's just a waiting game. And then the sun, you know, the sun starts to come up, you know, around 6. So then you're like, okay, let's really start to get ready. Think about when I want to get in the water, how I position myself in the water. This year, the pros go off, the amateur men go off, and then the amateur women go off at 7:20, not at the typical 7 a.m. So I'll have plenty of time to get in the water, get my position. I'm front and center. I swim buoy to buoy, and this will be my second time racing with the women's only weight. They did that in 2014, the last time I was here. I'm not quite sure if I like it. I like having the guys to draft off of. So I'm not worried about that, because I know my pace. I know how I'm going to swim. I know exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to do my own thing and not worry about trying to draft off anyone, because a week ago I didn't draft off of anyone and I swam just fine. And then, you know, as I'm swimming, I'm just kind of going through like how I'm feeling, and, you know, just, I get really excited to get on my bike. And so once I'm out of the water, I'm just super excited to be out of the water and ready to get on my bike.
Now, by the time you get on your bike, talk about your nutrition, because now you've had your breakfast. I don't know how many calories you're trying to consume before you leave the hotel.
It's like 400 or 500.
Okay. And then after the swim, you've been without food really for a few hours, probably, right? Maybe
yeah,
a gel
I
or
just,
something?
Because I don't do, a lot of people will do a gel right before the swim. I don't. I will just get on my bike. I'll get on my bike, and within the first 5 miles, I just keep my pace relaxed. I don't get caught up, and I just start sipping Gatorade right away when I get on my bike. And then I do, my goal is about 100 calories every 30 minutes on the bike.
That makes sense for your size.
Yeah.
And then throughout the 5.5 hour ride or so, you're assessing your fluids, your nutrition, your how you feel compared to the weather and the wind.
Yeah, and all I think about is making sure I stay on track with my nutrition. And typically, more often than not, the years that I've been here, we have a little bit of a tailwind the first, you know, 30-ish miles. And then as we approach, get closer and closer to Javi, we start getting the headwind, crosswinds. So I'm planning on that. That's pretty common. And just really gonna relax and kind of enjoy that first 30 miles and until we hit those headwinds. And I'm mentally ready for the headwinds, because I spent 5 days in Javi. And the 5 days I spent in Javi, there was different wind every single day. I rode one day on Sunday, and there was no wind at all. And I didn't know that was possible for Javi not to have wind. So that was encouraging that there is a chance it's not always windy in Javi. Chances are slim, but there is a chance. And then the climb, oh, and then as soon as I turn on Javi, I feel like it's a brand new ride. I'm 45 miles in. I feel like, okay, I'm on a brand new day. It's a brand new bike ride. I'm doing the climb. You get to the top. You're like, what a relief when you get to the top because you get to the descent. And that's usually fun unless you have a tailwind crosswind, and it's not so much fun because it's kind of scary. But again, once I'm down those first 7 miles of the Javi climb, when I'm downhill, I feel safe. I feel like I'm a little bit more sheltered from those crosswinds. And I'm always looking at the people in front of me. If I see them move, then I brace my bike a little bit stronger because I know I'm going to move too. So I definitely race in those crosswinds differently than I train in them. Because training in them, I don't want to take any chances. But racing in them, when I'm watching the people ahead of me and I see them blowing around, I know it's coming. So it helps me. I don't like crosswinds. Like who does? But I go more on the safety side more than anything else. I'll slow down if I'm feeling unsafe.
Now, are you aware? Are you looking around to see other people who might be in your age group? And do they have numbers on their calves?
No, I'm not at all. I don't because I usually come out ahead in my age group from the swim. I know I'm to get passed by people in my age group on the bike. And I know in my experiences at Kona, it comes down to run. And so I don't get caught up anymore in monitoring how many people are ahead of me on the bike, because my friends will tell me once I get to the run, they'll tell me what place I'm in, and I've been running pretty well, so I'm feeling confident about all that. I'm just going to have my own race. I mean, 20 years ago when I was completely clueless and I had no idea and I never ran a marathon, I just went and had my own race and I did well. So I try to continue on with that theme of just race it like you train it, and just focus on yourself and what you're doing, and don't let your mind stray or get caught up into any negativity, like getting a cramp or feeling a leg pain or getting blown around by the wind. It's going to happen, and just focus on what you can control. And that's what I think I'm pretty good at that.
Are you prepared or even interested in leaving it all out there and not worrying about what's coming up this next week? Is this the end of your season?
Yeah, this is the end of my season. Oh, I'm ready to leave it all out there. I want to be on the podium. Like, that's my number one goal. I want to be on that stage on Sunday.
And how deep do they go in age groups? 10?
5.
5, okay.
And I just collect all my experiences from the last 19 Ironmans that I've done. I just collect them all. And I remind myself of certain things that I've overcame in different races. And so it helps me in case I experience something that I've experienced before. I just know I can overcome it because I've had these experiences before.
Was your 2008 year, was that the 10:52? Or 9:52? What was your best?
9:53:51.
Okay. I can almost visualize that scene where with you and your Avia outfit with your hands raised above your head, and it's like, oh, that was like 10 or 9 something.
That was not expected. I mean, I knew that year, based on my fitness, I was capable of a 10-hour Ironman. But to actually do what I did, it came down to the run. I knew I was capable of a 10-hour Ironman. I didn't know I was capable of a 3:17 marathon. And that's really what won it for me, is my marathon time. I had no idea. I mean, my goal was 3:30 to 3:40. That was what I thought I could do based on training. So to pull out a 3:17 marathon, I absolutely no idea how I did that, but I did it. And so again, it goes back to anything's possible. Even those awesome, incredible moments are possible, So I'm hoping to have one of those awesome, incredible moments again.
Well, it's so refreshing to hear someone speak openly about their optimistic goals and wanting to do well, because a lot of people play close to the vest of, I'm going to go out there and do my best, you know, whatever happens on the day. So it's just kind of nice to hear someone who's confident and prepared to put it all out there and wants to be on the podium versus, I hope I am, or I'm humble and maybe I'll get there. Not that you're being arrogant or anything. I like to hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and I really believe it. And I've had years, whether it's been in Kona or other Ironmans, where I felt confident and I ended up suffering on the marathon and it didn't happen. But I don't hold on to those moments. I don't hold on to, well, remember you were confident and you walked the marathon. I let that stuff go. I remember when I was confident and did a 9:53:51. That I will never forget that. I want that feeling again. And that's why I keep coming back. I want that feeling again. It was incredible.
Well, Wendy, any parting thoughts before I wrap this up and wish you well? And then I'm excited already to hear your race recap. I know we're not even there.
Thank you. That's actually one thing. You asked me what I'm thinking about on the bike. When I'm biking, I'm thinking about, I'm so mindful awareness. Like, I'm so strong at being aware of what's going on with my thoughts and my way my body's feeling. I'm creating my race report as I'm racing. And I'm thinking about, again, I think number one, I'm always thinking about my friends and family and how much support I have with them. They're number one. Absolutely. That is the number one thing I think about. Is how lucky I am and how many people are there on Timex. All my friends and family in Colorado, Georgia, and around the world. And it just makes me smile, and it helps me smile even in the times where I'm depleted and suffering a little bit. I just go back to gratitude and the family friends, because I think once you start doing that, everything just feels better, and those difficult times become not so difficult. So I'm just going to go out there again. Like I tell the athletes I coach, race like you train it, and that's all you can do.
Aloha to you, and aloha to everyone who's listening. Have a great week of racing, training, or recovery. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Adios.
Adios and aloha.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere. Sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.